In Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital is here. We're going to talk dogs, cats, bearded lizards, snakes, any kind of pet you got out there. If you have a question for the doctor, this is absolutely free advice. Give us a call here at 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. We'll be taking your calls very shortly if you want to call in. And don't forget Twins baseball coming up at about 6:40. So Dr. Doreen Winning, welcome back to the show. It's good to see you.
To be back.
Nice day today. And I have to tell you something. I went down and did a remote broadcast today at Island Park. And I saw a number of bees or wasps or something flying around. Yep. They're not gone yet,
Not butterflies, but rather bees or
bees,
wasps.
Bees, yes.
Yeah. So I had an interesting weekend in that one of my dogs, Dahlia, got stung by a wasp, I believe it was. I'm not a bug doctor, so I don't know exactly what species it was, but it was definitely not a bee. It was another variety. And so I had to deal with a dog that got stung on her foot this weekend. So I thought we'd talk about that a little bit and what to do and what not to do. And we can, you know, if people don't call in, we'll talk about what I want to talk about. So if there's something you guys want to talk about, we'll talk about it.
They'll call in. They always do.
But for now, we'll talk about bug bites and what to do.
Okay. Where was she bitten? Top of the foot, bottom of the foot?
She was bit right on the bottom of her foot in between the pads of her feet. And so basically, I can tell you what not to do because I learned what not to do as far as bees go this weekend. You never want to disrupt a hornet's nest in the morning hours because they are very active in the morning and they don't like that.
Are you telling me your dog got into a hornet's nest?
Yeah. So thankfully, the hornet's nest was a ways off and the hornets were just on the ground. And she stepped on one. So she didn't get bit in the face, thankfully. I was very thankful for that. But she probably wasn't thankful that it was her foot because every time she walked, she felt it. So what I did was I knew that hornets, wasps, yellow jackets don't tend to have any stinger. Bees, honeybees, bees of that nature tend to have stingers. So if you know it was a bee, get the stinger out. And it's just like a little fine piece of hair. A lot of people have been stung by bees and they know exactly what that is. Do you know what a stinger is, Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It pops out and the bee is done.
The bee is done for once they sting and lose their stinger. So wasps and yellow jackets and hornets they can sting multiple times. So they don't have the capability of losing their stinger. So you don't have to worry about that. But what I did was I immediately took her in the house and gave her Benadryl. So I want people to know Benadryl can be given immediately after the bite or sting, and the dosing is 1 mg/lb. So for example, Dahlia's 25 pounds. I gave her 25 milligrams of Benadryl, which is one adult tablet.
Okay.
So if you have concerns about how much to give and your dog's kind of in a middle weight range, call your vet and get some advice from them. If your vet's not open, you can call the emergency clinic. So I gave Benadryl, and then I also, this is a little bit controversial, but I knew that, and I did it anyway. I put Caladryl lotion on it, and it seemed to immediately help her. And I don't recommend that you just dump copious amounts of Caladryl or Calamine lotion on bites or dog skin because it contains zinc, and if they ingest enough of it, it can cause zinc toxicosis, and obviously you don't want to do that. So I just took a little cotton ball and dabbed it on there. And it seemed like immediately once that was on, she just stopped licking it. She still limped, but things were a little bit better in Dahlia's world at that point in time.
Let me back up just in the initial diagnosis. You saw, of course, that
there
were wasps.
I did not see it. Well, yeah.
That there were wasps.
Because was messing with
But was there something more than just the limp? I mean, did it swell up in anything?
It swelled up and, you know, it was red, and I deduced that, you know, there's a problem here. There's wasps or hornets around, and suddenly she's got a big red swollen foot.
Okay.
So, you know, common sense-wise, I knew exactly what had happened.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. We got through the lotion, and then what are we doing?
So then after the lotion, we went and applied a cool compress. And you can do that. That's very benign. You just don't want to put a lot of pressure on it because it can irritate the area further. And as always, whenever your pet gets a bite or a sting, you're going to want to go ahead and call your vet. Monitor for any kind of facial swelling, hives. Hives in dogs, you can't obviously see their skin, but you can see where their hair is standing up. So if there's little patches of where their hair is standing up all over their body, that's probably hives. Obviously, facial swelling is pretty easy to tell in most dogs. Those are scenarios where you definitely want to call your vet.
Yeah, now, are they fairly easy with the right drugs to reverse then with hives, that type of thing?
It can be difficult sometimes. When we get pets in that have been had an allergic reaction to a bite or sting, we have to give cortisone, essentially. Dexamethasone is what we give by injection. And so I just don't want people to think I can manage this at home. You should always consult your veterinarian for advice. And sometimes we do have to resort to dexamethasone injections.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take our first break. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Dr. Doreen Winning is with us from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. Your phone calls are welcome. We're going to talk a little bit about the kids going back to school and how that might affect your pets when we come back here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. This is the Mighty 790 KFGO. The vet is in, Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. We are going to talk about back-to-school changes for your pets when the kids go back to school. But before we do that, Jeremy is on the line out of Herman. Jeremy, how you doing?
Yes, fine.
What would you, Dr. Winning is here. Shoot your question out her way.
All right. Hello, doctor.
Hi.
I've got a 2.5-year-old Australian Shepherd. She's about 45 pounds. And a couple days ago, she started getting all these blisters. They look like big blisters around her eyes. And then on the end of her nose, then I noticed them behind her ears and by her legs. I know the wife bring her to the vet, and he said it was some sort of mange.
Okay.
Not the contagious kind. I know she tried some different kind of essential oils that aren't harmful to animals, but what else can we do?
So I'm guessing it's a type of mite called Demodex, which is not contagious to other dogs. And the question is, when you have Demodex, is why do they have it? Because typically dogs can overcome it with their own immune system. And so basically what we do when we diagnose Demodex in a mature dog, it's different if it's an immature puppy where their immune system isn't fully up and running yet. But in a mature dog, you're going to want to find the underlying cause of why the immune system hasn't fought this off. So doing some diagnostic testing, including blood work. And then as far as fighting off the mange, you want to give an antiparasiticide. Usually what we give is ivermectin. There's different drugs you can use, but that would be the most typical one I use. And I use an increasing dose regimen. So, you know, we start out low and get to higher doses that can actually kill off the mite.
How harmful is it going to be to my dog? Is she going to lose all her hair? I mean, is there a chance she might die?
Well, again, that depends on the underlying cause. And I'm assuming at this point that this is Demodex. I don't know for sure. But depending on the underlying cause, I have had in the last 20 years one dog that has died as a consequence of Demodex. So it's not as common as we see the mite. It's not common to die or perish from it. They can lose a lot of hair. And again, we need to go on a hunt and find out why she has the mite. And so usually it's the underlying cause. In fact, in the case that I had, it was the underlying cause that caused the death in the dog, not actually the mite. So again, you know, just finding out what that is, treating the mite. And there are certain breeds of dogs, you know, collies being one, that we can't use high doses of ivermectin. So you have to resort to other treatments. But for the most part, treating the mite and finding out the underlying cause is key. And your vet should, you know, obviously be en route to that as well.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for reassuring me what I already learned from him. So yep. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it. By the way, this type of infection with the mites, I mean, that type of thing, is that more rural or urban, or can it be both?
Demodex mites can be either or. Again, it's a defect in the immune system that's allowing the mite to proliferate. So you can see it in a little house dog. You can see it in a farm dog. People get scared when they hear the word mite, because when we think of mites, we think they're contagious, and not all forms of mites are. So you can have another dog living in the same house as a dog that's infected with Demodex, and the other dog's completely fine. Mm-hmm. So it's important not to panic when you hear the word mite. There are certain kinds of mites that can be transmitted from actually pet to pet or pet to people. So you have to be careful in certain circumstances, but we never want to panic.
To people?
Yeah.
Gulp.
I have hazards to my job, believe it or not.
This is Dr. Doreen Winning, and once again, the number is 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. School has started in some places, and the pets have to get used to the kids going back to school. Huh?
We see a lot of dogs, or get a lot of calls from people that have dogs that are having a difficulty making the transition from being at home with kids all summer and, you know, being able to go outside whenever they want, to having to go back into the kennel and be confined to the kennel for, you know, hours at a time. And so just a gentle reminder to people, start your routines early if you can. I realize some kids are already back in school, but there are some schools yet to start. So if you can kind of get your pet worked into a schedule where you know what it's going to be during the school year. For example, if you usually take your walks at noon, start getting into that routine right now, going for your noon walk, getting them used to the kennel again. I don't like dogs to be in the kennel for more than 4 hours at a time or so. They should be able to go out every 4 hours, go for a potty break, and get a drink of water. My dogs don't have water in their kennel with them. So, you know, I try to make it home at a consistent, repeatable time for them to get a water break and a potty break. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they can be put back in their crates again.
Can you just imagine being, I mean, you just have to picture yourself being into a crate like that, you know, for 4 hours. You'd want to be out stretching your legs once in a while.
Well,
too, you know?
Exactly. And there are different sizes of crates and such too, but my dogs do better in their crate, and they're almost like teenagers with their bedrooms. They enjoy their kennel. In fact, when I'm getting ready in the morning, they're running to their kennels and excited to go in there because they know that they get specific goodies when they're in their kennels. And that's the only time they get them. And believe it or not, one of my dogs, Dahlia, the problem child, she has had severe crate anxiety in her life. And we've managed to overcome that by using positive reinforcement. So, you know, we can talk about her all you want because she's a lesson in...
Well, maybe we'll do that one night.
She's an exercise in frustration.
But I was going to say before we get to Don here that it's... I know what you mean, because we had a dog once who we would put in a little blanket or something, mm-hmm, for them to lay with. And they would almost literally pick up one end and kind of fold it up and put it towards the corner. So they've got like a three layers of blanket to lay on instead of one, mm-hmm, you know. And it can be quite cute and interesting, yeah, sometimes. This is Dan from Fargo. Dan, welcome to the show. The Vet is in. You're on with Dr. Doreen Winning.
Hi there. Thank you. We had two birds die within 6 months of each other, and I just wanted to kind of put this past you to see if you might have an answer for me here. The first one that died was an Indian ringneck, and we were told that she fell off her perch and just it seemed like it was a heart attack is what that appeared to be. And the other was an Alexandrian parakeet. We came home and she had died. I'm hoping that I didn't contribute to that by some of the treats that I gave them. Now, normally, they ate their seed and they had quite a variety of fruits and vegetables that they liked. But their favorite treats that they liked were either pieces of fried egg or scrambled egg and taco shells and tortillas. Do you think that might have contributed to heart conditions or killed them?
Well, I think, you know, everything in moderation. And we know that birds, for example, seeds with birds can be a problem too. They have come out with pelleted bird foods. The hard thing is with the pelleted foods, if birds have been brought up and raised on seeds, it's hard to transition birds. We're all creatures of habits, and birds especially are, and getting them into the pelleted foods can be very difficult. That being said, hindsight's always 20/20, and if I had, you know, something that I could do over again, I could list millions of things, but try your next set of birds. Try getting them on some of the pelleted foods. There's different varieties out there. And then, you know, seeds and that kind of thing can be in limited quantities as treats. And I know a lot of people who supplement their birds' diets with stuff off their own table, and that's okay, and everything in moderation. I always tell my clients, I like ice cream every now and then. I don't live on it, but I like it every now and then. So, you know, don't be kicking yourself about what could I have done differently. I think you did the best by those birds that you possibly could, and we can always Monday morning quarterback all we want, but you did the right thing for those birds.
All right. We appreciate your call. Thank you very much. All right. We're coming up on 6:31. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more here on KFGO. Don't put those tick collars away quite yet. We've got details coming up next here with Dr. Doreen Winning here on KFGO.
I'm being followed by a moon shadow.
This is the Mighty 790 KFGO. Bob Harris here along with Scott Storm, and Dr. Doreen Winning is in the house. Of course, we're laughing because this is Cat Stevens.
I forgot to mention last break I played the Eagles coming
the Eagles,
back.
But, yep. Yeah. The Eagles. Nobody has a pet eagle, though, do they? Anybody ever bought one in?
No.
Oh. Well,
no, I can assure you that that has not happened yet.
Dr. Doreen Winning, we're talking about various miscellaneous topics tonight, but you are still welcome to call. We have about 5 minutes to before the Twins game comes up here, 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. You're suggesting to people don't put the tick prevention away yet.
Right. We're seeing a lot of people coming in and not worrying about tick prevention, even though they're going into the Minnesota Lakes area. I just want to remind people, keep up with your tick prevention. We have seen, especially deer ticks, being out some years when it's warm enough, they can be into November. So if you're just going into the Minnesota area, don't forget about your tick stuff yet. You still need the prevention.
November, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to... Oh, man. We've got Todd on the line here for us here on KFGO. Hi, Todd. You're on with Dr. Winning.
Yes. I have a half a Chihuahua, half a Dachshund, and she's been coughing. Well, not really coughing, but coughing like she's had a furball for about the last 2 or 3 weeks. Is that possible, or is that maybe something we should, or what else would you maybe suggest that might be?
How old is your dog?
Probably about 5 or 6.
Okay. I would have that checked because there's a lot of different reasons why dogs can cough. Sometimes they're just as simple as a simple respiratory infection that can respond to medications. Sometimes it can be heart disease. Sometimes it can be primary lung disease. So any of those three things and potentially others, you're going to want to make sure that you see your vet about. Kennel cough is something that's infectious, that's easily treated with antibiotics, potentially. And so if it's something simple like that, it'd be silly not to, you know, get a simple course of antibiotics. But also remember, there's more serious consequences if you leave heart disease or primary lung disease out too. So,
has he been at a kennel lately?
No.
Okay, you can rule that one out then.
Well, potentially, but you know, we see dogs coming in with infectious tracheobronchitis, even though they haven't been around other dogs. So just, you know, get them to your vet.
Okay, we will do that. Thank
you. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Actually, we only have just a couple of minutes left before this is done. I have to tell you that I posted a story on my website that is probably the coolest, the neatest little story I've ever heard. I was over at the Red River Zoo,
mm-hmm.
and they have a cat on the grounds. His name is Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And Oscar the cat was a stray they found in a garbage can. So hence the Sesame Street, they call him Oscar.
Yep.
And one of their vet techs actually found him and brought him in. And now the cat is head of rodent control at the Red River Zoo.
You know, this time of year, we do need rodent control. We talked about that last time, about rodenticides. Last time I was on, we talked about that. And yes, cats are good rodent control, especially if you have a cat that really likes to play the mouse chase game.
It was so cute. You said, but there were 2.5 years. I've never seen it before. All of a sudden, there he is laying on the middle of the grass. What's this cat doing in here?
Yeah, and some cats like to be recognized when there are new people around. Some cats don't. So, you know, maybe he's coming out of his shell.
Well, we got the fall coming in. We talked about the kids. We got about a minute left here. Any other topics as the weather starts to turn a little bit cooler?
You know, I think, you know, one of the things that you're going to want to watch for, you know, make sure that you keep up your flea prevention. Again, same with ticks. Fleas, people just dismiss as not being a cool season concern. They still are, because we have rabbits, rodents, that kind of thing, squirrels in our backyard, and they can spread fleas. And my dogs personally have gone out in December and come back in. I found a flea on them.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So it's important to keep up with your flea prevention year-round. You don't necessarily need your tick prevention year-round, but you do need flea prevention year-round.
Okay, so one night then you want to come in and we'll spend a whole hour on your dogs?
Yeah, that's a whole big story.
Well, Molly was very happy to see you tonight.
She's
too, by
adorable.
The way. Scott's dog is in here, isn't it? Before we let you go, your address again?
3210 Main Avenue.
In Fargo. And the phone number?
Phone number is 232-3391. And our website?
Yes.
ValleyVeterinary.net.
And you can also find yourself on Facebook, too.
Absolutely.
Or we could, too. Not only
sure
yourself
you
could find, we could, too. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Winning.
Thank
Dr. Doreen Winning, back in a month here on the Mighty 7.